our message going to be looking back. Next week is going to be looking forward. Today we're going to be looking back at 2018. And I can, with pretty good confidence, say it was a year of change for us as a church. A year of change for us individually, corporately. Had quite a bit going on here. And it's difficult to think previous to September, but I've done my best and tried to put together a list of things that have happened here towards us, the praises, the good things, the bad things, everything that's happened to us as a body, as a community. I apologize if I overlook you. It wasn't intentional or anything, just trying to capture these things. So as we look through, try to go chronologically, one of the biggest change for the first time since 1971, this church saw a new senior pastor. That's a pretty big change for any church. You all voted for me back in January. Also in January, we started looking into this Garden of Promise. How can we better impact our community by having this community garden here, looking forward to making relationships based on having a garden, being able to minister to people with their physical needs, but more importantly, making those connections with folks. So we started that process. Obviously, there's no garden now, but hopefully in the future, it will be there. For myself, it was a year of ordination. Finally passed the written exam, the oral exam, got ordained by the Christian Missionary Alliance, which is, for me, just amazing and wonderful that this group of godly men confirming that, yes, you are called to ministry. We see this in you. It was wonderful sending experience. As we look through, you probably forgot, we hosted the Easter week noontime services last year. Stephanie probably doesn't forget, or those of the many other folks that helped out with that week. But we hosted those here this year. We had a wonderful honoring celebration of Pastor Hazard back in April for he and Cynthia and their years and years, decades and decades of hard work and giving of much for us as a congregation. So it's a time of rejoicing at how we've been incredibly blessed as a community. As a church, unfortunately, we did have a few friends and family pass away this past year. We had Ted Kozlowski back in May. We had Betty Ashbrook and Julie Marsh pass away this past year. They're now, we can confidently say, in heaven with the Lord. Whatever their ailments are no longer confining them, no longer marking them, but we still miss them. They had wonderful marks here on this community. We got to celebrate Emma and her graduation this past June, and now at Gulf Coast State College. We got to be the sending church for Anna going off to Envision Atlanta for the summer and serving over there, serving the Lord in that capacity. In July, we sent three folks down to Peru for a short-term missions trip, which was a wonderful experience. And then this coming September, we had 11 folks say, I want to be a part of 2019's trip. So it's just exciting to see what the Lord might be doing in that capacity, building relationships down there in Peru. As I mentioned, the announcements, we'll see if he's still leading us there for this coming year. We begun also in September for a few weeks a children's missions program on Sunday evenings. Much more was planned, but Hurricane Michael impacted those plans. We're trying to, how do we infuse some of the DNA, some of the wonderful stuff of the missions work that's being done into our younger generations? We had a well-loved international worker return back from India this year, and so right after the hurricane, so we're excited to have this person back. We had, of course, as we know also, Hurricane Michael. Happened in October with the incredible devastation. We're still finding more. You dig a little bit out and you find a little more and more and more. But in that, finding some wonderful things in there. We've had donations come from two Alliance churches here in the state of Florida around Tampa, come up with trucks and vehicles. One of them was just a small church, made two trips up here to bless this community. We've received donations, financial gifts exceeding $18,000 towards Hurricane Michael disaster relief efforts here in the church. We've welcomed two group of alliance churches, 10 guys from the Birmingham International Church that knocked out 7 projects in about 36-hour period. I know to those who received them, they were an incredible blessing. Amen. Better than your paid staff, right? Come in there and they knocked out however many countless trees in Margaret's yard. They did incredible work. And then we had for a week and a half, 2 weeks, the couple from Wisconsin come down and serve. They cleaned out my garage and did some drywall. They helped out at that boot store with a few other folks. And eventually that boot store will be up and running, which will be nice. Unfortunately, we did have businesses impacted. Some folks having to close down to move. But there's promise in these new locations. All right, Lord, what are you going to be doing with this? God shutting down some doors, some neat things. Richard Duncan with the bird store at first told he's going to have to leave at the end of the year, but then the person that's buying the property says, well, you guys can stay. Unfortunately, they don't really have a contract. Right now, he said, basically, we're squatters on this property, but just have a handshake agreement. But it's neat seeing the Lord work, so they don't have to find a new property. They don't have to find a new place. And it's really interesting just that wherever at the wildlife place, there's that little bit of a few stores that are at an angle, and those are the only ones that are able to still be up and running. And the Lord placed Richard Duncan there in those few storefronts that weren't impacted. As we know, we've had changes. We've been only doing Sunday-only services since the storm. The Lord's opened up doors with our neighbors, connecting with neighbors that we've not known for 10 or 20 years, but now have the ability to communicate with. The Lord's opened up the doors for us to serve our community here, to serve one another, to be served, which for many of us is a difficult thing, allowing somebody else to help you. Because most of us are pretty competent people. We can do things ourselves, but it does make it a whole heck of a lot easier if we have somebody else helping us out. We've had, I think, just about all of us impacted by this storm, damages to our homes. We've had folks leave the church, leave the area because of the storm. We've had to say goodbye to Bill Bean and Ivan and Lydia Griffin. Unfortunately, we didn't get to say goodbye to Ivan and Lydia. I know they made a number of phone calls, but there's lots of change that this year has brought on for us, lots of changes that the storm has brought on. We've also seen 5 new members of the church. This December, we voted in 5 new members. I'm excited. We started a partnership with Northside Elementary School with the toy drive, something that wouldn't have happened without the storm, wouldn't have happened without the sister church in Alabama saying, hey, we want to bring some toys and we want to be able to bless the community. So it kind of made us think, well, how can we do that? So I'm excited for the long-term possibilities of reaching out into the school, reaching out into this community, showing the Lord's love. I know some of you had said, well, how can we mentor? How can we be a part of that? We want to continue this, so I'm going to be reaching out to the principal. How can we continue to be a blessing? Not just, here's a toy, but how can we continue that relationship with them? Also this year, talking finances, usually the Lord has blessed us and we're well in the black. This year, we're in the red. We finished the year about $8,000 in the red, which wasn't unexpected with the pastoral transition. But fortunately, we've been blessed in previous years to have a surplus in our savings account, so we've been able to absorb not quite meeting what we had hoped for budget, what we had spent. And that's okay. The Lord knows how to give us the years of plenty to take care of the years that aren't. We can look at Joseph for that. The Lord knows how to take care of us. What a year it's been, and I'm sure as you look at your own personal lives, 2018 has been quite a year. Many folks growing stronger. Jerry, you're walking pretty well. People are getting stronger in this church. but certainly January 1st to January 1st, a lot different than we would have expected. So that kind of brings us to, so looking back at this year, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on here? What's your plans for us? And I would argue in this, God's purpose for us, God's purpose, God's plan, God's will for you individually, for us corporately, is to conform us into his image. That's God's will for you. I don't know his specific will. What is his will for you for lunch or to do this week? I'm not sure. Is it the Lord's will for you to come with me to Orlando for that disciple-making conference? I don't know. But I do know God's will, God's plan is to conform you into his image. And this all started, as we see, in creation. Man and woman, they were created in his image. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, God having a conversation with himself because he is a triune God. He is not just God the Father. He had the Son and the Holy Spirit saying, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we have originally over here in the upper right quadrant, we were created in God's image. This is God's ideal. This is God's plan. We're in his image. Unfortunately, there's a problem because sin enters into the world. Sin messes things up. God's perfect plan, it comes in a way, it becomes a hindrance. Romans 5, we see this in Genesis 3. The serpent comes in, deceives Adam and Eve. Sin enters the world. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So sin enters into this world. We're separated from God. There's this big problem. So now the rest of the story, the rest of the 65 and 97 out of 100, the rest of the 99% of Scripture is God's redemption story for mankind. How does he, it's about redeeming man, about redeeming this lost, broken, fallen world. We know that this is through Jesus. First, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So through faith in Jesus, the wrong of Adam is made right, and this is activated purely based on our faith in him alone. It's not faith plus anything else. Sin was passed down from Adam. We're broken, but Christ comes in and redeems each of us. We are made restored with God. We are set apart to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We see this in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are set apart to God through the blood of Christ. Unfortunately, practically speaking, does my life always reflect this spiritual reality? Not always. Does your life always reflect, I am now made in the image of Christ. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am now perfect in everything I do. And we know that we're not. There's still a difference between what I am and the spiritual reality. In God's eyes, we have his righteousness. We're blameless in his eyes. We no longer get the wrath, but practically speaking, my actions don't represent this. We have a newness of life, Christ living in me, and he's living in me to conform me into his image, to bring us back, once again, bring us back to this image that God desires for you and for me. And the best way that God creates us into his image, that he transforms us often, is change. We don't like change, but this is what the Lord do, and I believe this is why we've had such a severe change in 2018. You know, there's been many positives of this change, but a lot of things that felt, you know, this is not good. Lord, What are you doing? But this is all part of, hey, God, his omniscient, his sovereign plan to conform you and I into his image, to go through these difficulties. Romans 28:29, we know them well, we throw them out, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those who are called into salvation, that God is working all things, all these little bits and pieces for our good to conform us into his image. That's what verse 29 says. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. He's in the business of conforming us into the image of his son. When we accept Christ, we are spiritually reborn, but once again, our flesh likes to play a major role in our lives. So the Lord is trying to conform us, and we know that we won't fully arrive there until we're sinlessly perfect in heaven. But the Lord's, he's transforming us because we live in this fallen world. You and I, as followers of Christ, have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's exciting stuff. This is not a hope to be, but this is what God has planned for us. We're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Just think about that. The image of Christ, Christ's sinlessness, his fully submissiveness to God's will, his ability to discern God's voice perfectly in each situation, his full loving, his joy, his peace, his patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things that Jesus exhibited, this is what the Lord is doing for you and I. And God uses these seasons of change to help conform us into those images. That's why we get verses like James chapter 1, Romans chapter 5, where he says, count it all joy, my brothers, who meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect. They may be perfect and complete, not lacking in anything. These trials, these difficulties are trying to remove these impurities from our lives. We get these moments, these seasons of the crisis sanctification. We're already set apart in God's eyes. That's what sanctification means, where it is to be set apart to God. And if we're set apart to God, then our actions will start to follow this. But unfortunately, we need a little bit of help. So we need those moments of crisis, those times of crisis. Lord, I can't do this on my own. A big hurricane does that well for us. Those times in our life where, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need your help. I need you to help me. I can't do this by myself. And those times of difficulty, they train us, they make us stronger by the Lord's will, by his hand, by his guidance. I have a little video here. If anybody watched the series Lost, we're going to have here an old man, John Locke, and Charlie, a young drug addict. We're going to see here, we're going to use an analogy of a moth and the strengthening that nature has, that the Lord has put into nature here.
Come here. Let me show you something. What do you suppose is in that cocoon, Charlie?
I don't know. A butterfly, I guess?
No, it's much more beautiful than that. That's a moth cocoon. It's ironic. Butterflies get all the attention, but moths, they spin silk. They're stronger, they're faster.
That's wonderful, but...
You see this little hole? This moth's just about to emerge. It's in there right now, struggling. It's digging its way through the thick hide of the cocoon. Now, I could help it. Take my knife, gently widen the opening, and the moth would be free. But it would be too weak to survive. Struggle is nature's way of strengthening it. Now, this is the second time you've asked me for your drugs back. Ask me again, and it's yours.
It's a neat little image of the moth. It produces silk. It's, you know, as John said, you know, butterflies. We like butterflies. They're cute. They're pretty. They're whatever. But the moth makes the silk, the strong, incredibly valuable material for us. But they have to go through this process of coming through that cocoon. If you were to cut it open, as you said, the moth would be not strong enough to survive. The Lord is using these trials in our lives to strengthen us, to conform us into his image, so we have that steadfastness, have its full effect, to be perfect, complete, not lacking anything. He could allow for shortcuts and end these things. But the Lord's doing wonderful things to try to grow you, conform each of us into his image. And so during these trials, we can often see where we need growth. Oopsie daisy. Let's get past that. So when we see the trial, think of it as a flow chart. How do I react to this difficulty? Be a big trial, can just be a little minor trial, a little difficulty. But what comes out? Is it the flesh that comes out, or is it the spirit that comes out? When I encounter this problem in life, is my first reaction, my first outflow, is it the enmity, strife, the jealousy, the anger, the rivalries, dissension, envy, division? Is that what happens? I'm getting all worked up, whether it's in my marriage, it's in my relationships, it's with the strangers out there, it's whatever. Or is it the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Well, what's coming out here? And so often for us, it's, you know, when we're tested, it's that bad stuff where I know this isn't good, but I just want to. And it's in those, it's not about me being stronger, it's Lord. I can clearly see this is how my flesh wants to react, and it's winning. Lord, help me, please. This isn't a good thing. I'm losing this battle. Your scripture is very clear on how I'm supposed to behave, how I'm supposed to react. But Lord, I'm losing this battle here. And so these trials help turn us back to the Lord, tap into his love, his goodness, conforming us into his image. So perhaps this year there are areas in your life God was trying to make fully his. I would argue, yes, if for each of us, none of us is fully there. Whether we're 20 or whether we're 90, we're not fully there. We're not fully conformed into the Lord's image. So what's he trying to do in all of this? Well, Romans 12:2 tells us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The wonderful thing is, oh, you're already holy. You're already in God's eyes set apart. You're already acceptable to God. You're not acceptable because, if we go back here, because I reacted in the spirit. Okay, I reacted in love. I reacted in self-control. No, you're already acceptable to God because of his blood. We have this wonderful grace. So present your bodies as a living sacrifice. All right, Lord, I'm alive to you. Whatever you want. I'm dead to my own desires. Whatever you want, I'm set apart to you. And the verse continues, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So your mind's already renewed, going back to that diagram, that change in this fallen world. Continue to be transformed, be conformed into the image of God. Not conformed to the world, be transformed by this renewal of your mind. And with the testing, we can discern the will of God. Well, we know his big will is to be conformed to his image, but in this situation, how am I to react? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what's good and acceptable and perfect in your eyes here? The tough thing is that's going to change. Helping somebody out today might be different than how I help them out tomorrow. Lord, what's good and acceptable and perfect? Today I might say yes, tomorrow I say no. Today I say no, tomorrow I say yes. Lord, what do you want to do here? I want to be that living sacrifice. And so we look at these trials. They could be disciplinary, but they're not punitive if we're his children. They're to build us up, to conform us into his image so we can be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Lord, this is tough, but I see what you're doing here. So as we close, what was he trying to accomplish in your life, you think, last year? What was going on for you specifically? What did you encounter in your life? Where are some of the areas of weakness? Perhaps you felt the Lord pressing upon your heart, or others were speaking truth and love into your life. Are you willing to listen to the counsel of others, or just ignore it? No, write it off. What was he trying to do in your life? So as we move forward, we want to move forward as a church, as individually, corporately. We want to keep on pursuing God. We don't want to live or dwell in the past. And that can be, there can be wonderful things. There were wonderful things in this past year. There can be some negative things. There were some not great things. We don't want to live or dwell in the past. We're not characterized by those successes or failures. We want to keep on moving forward. But in doing so, remember what God has done. He's done some amazing things for us as a church body. He's done some amazing things. I mean, look at this building. We've said a number of times it's still standing and doing pretty well. We've had pretty minor things going on. Lots of other churches in this area can't say that. Lots of other, we know our homes can't say that. But as he puts these things together, a brother who's praising God for getting workers at your house, the praise is his work gets done at our home. We had our chimney fixed, put the cap back on Friday. And, you know, a chimney in Florida is probably about the least important thing, but it was pretty exciting. Because we got a note from the insurance, okay, yeah, we're going to cut you a check. We're done kind of playing whatever silly games. We're going to go ahead and cut you a check. So I called up the chimney guy, said, hey, we're ready to pull the trigger. Like to get on your list. He says, okay, this is Thursday. I can have a crew out there tomorrow at 11. Sure, I just got to let you know I don't have the money yet. I just assumed there'd be a little bit, because everything else, I think we called the window person, and they said, we can be here in March or April at your church to take a look at your window. So I assumed there'd be a little, I'm sorry, I can't pay you tomorrow. Well, that's fine, we're not drug dealers. We don't have to have 100% of the money right now. We trust you, we work with good people. Okay. I said, well, in case you know where I live, so you can bust my kneecaps out anyways. But just, you know, the little things. We have a fireplace. You know, the chimney's been fixed. Little things. But there's some neat things, and just keep your ear to the ground. There's a church in Minnesota, a large Alliance church, and they took up a reverse offering one Sunday in December, where every dime that was given to the church, they gave out. And they decided on two causes they wanted to give it to, the Hurricane Michael and to the wildfires in California. So they split up half of that offering and sent it to the district office in California and to the district office here for the Southern District. And so the Southern District received $44,000. Half of 1 week of a large church. In December, a church is giving away $88,000 because the Lord has placed it on their heart. That's incredible. And obviously, we're not getting all of that money, but just I just want to hear the stories of the things that the Lord's doing. It's a church up in Minnesota. Obviously, they're not impacted by Hurricane Michael, but they wanted to do something. They're not impacted by wildfires, but they wanted to do something. And we've all seen that in our day-to-day lives. We want to remember, wow, Lord, you're doing stuff for us. You're an amazing God who keeps his promises, who provides for his people, but also conforms them into his image. Close out with this thought, that we can't go back in time. We can't go back to January 1st, 2018. It's now January of 2019. But we can press forward with the history that the Lord has sovereignly placed in our lives. We can press forward. Lord, this is the reality. Lord, what do you want me to do today, tomorrow? What do you want me to do with what has transpired here? So I just want to encourage you, God's conforming you into his image, whether you like it or not. And if you choose, we all have the option, no, I'm going to take a pass on that. I think you'll be disappointed. Well, I know you'll be disappointed at the end of your life. We want to shortcut those trials, those difficulties that the Lord was using to to build us up like that moth. We'll be weaker. We won't be where the Lord wanted us. The Lord's, he's done wonderful things. He's allowed difficult situations to happen in 2018. And I look forward to 2019 and forward. So next week we'll be talking about what I believe the Lord's will is for us as we move forward as a church. What does he want us to do? What does he want us to be? Right now I only have vague ideas, and we'll see what the next week brings. But I'm still excited. Let me close this in prayer, and then we'll have our closing song. Lord, we're incredibly grateful for you. In your infinite knowledge, your infinite power, your all presence, you have been here with us through some difficulties. You have placed trials in our lives to strengthen us. And I pray that for each of us, that we would see these trials through the end so we would be full, complete, not lacking anything. Lord, help each of us to be conformed into your image. Fill each of us with your Holy Spirit today so we may do your will. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.